Ark Building in the 21st Century. And this is the last part of this little mini-series called Are We There Yet? And if you haven't heard the other parts, you won't be too lost. We're talking about a guy in the Bible named Noah. And he was asked by God, or told by God, to build this big old boat. And he said, I want you to build this boat. And he didn't build it near water. He didn't build it where it could be tested and tried out. He just built this big boat. And it took him over 100 years to build this boat. Can you imagine this guy building a boat for 100 years? And I'm sure that his kids probably thought that his cheese had done slipped off his cracker. I mean, I know the people of the town did. They thought, are you nuts? If you were to actually be able to use this boat, how are you going to get it from here to the water? I mean, it's a huge boat. Like I said last week, it was like in the late 1800s before another boat was built the size of this thing. It was huge. And God told him, I said, I want you to build this boat, and I want you to have your kids and their wives and your wife and get in there. And I want you to get these animals, certain kinds of animals, and I want you to put them in there, and I'm going to flood the earth. God said, you know what? I'm sick of all this sin, and these people have turned so far from me. I'm going to destroy the earth. And he did. The flood. Now, there's a lot of people who don't believe it actually happened, but the Word of God says it did. So we saw how they, you know, he built the boat, and then finally God says to him, I want you to get in the boat. They get in the boat, but it doesn't start raining for 7 days. Now, can you imagine you've been building for 100 years? God says, get in the boat. You think, okay, now it's going to happen for sure. Because Noah had been telling them it was going to rain, but the truth is that they didn't know what rain was because it had never rained before. It's going to flood the earth. Let's see. Flood, rain. Not sure what that means. Now, we know today, see, when we hear about floods and rain, we go, well, yeah, we sometimes wonder if God really did put that rainbow in the sky. Every once in a while we get some of those rains. But you know, the truth is that he did, and God said it's going to flood. And so they got in the boat, but it didn't start raining for 7 days. And then the Bible says, we talked about last week, the Lord closed the door. And I want to tell you today that there is a day coming when God's going to close the door again. And he's going to return and take his church away from here. And I want you to be aware that we better be ready. We can't wait to get ready because we don't know when it's going to be. In fact, the Bible says that no one knows the time or the date except for the Father. Even Jesus himself doesn't know the date. Just one day, the Father's going to say, okay, son, it's time to go. And in the moment that it takes your eye to twinkle, Jesus is going to break the eastern sky, and we're going to see him. And those of us who are dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive and remain that know Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to get the biggest ride of their life. And we're going to go be with the Lord. And the Bible says we're going to ever be with the Lord. Now I don't know how all the stuff works, you know, all the little chronological stuff. We just did a series on Revelation. I still don't understand anything about it. The truth is, it doesn't matter. When I get to go be with Jesus in the clouds, from that point on, I'm going to always be with him. So being with him is cool. Because, you know, the real reality is that it doesn't matter all the else that happens. If I'm with him, it's got to be good because he's good. See, I have no fear about Jesus' return because I'm going to be with him. And there's no evil in him. There's no bad in him. There's nothing that can come near your house when you're with him. Believe me, in that moment when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes, it's not the time to decide to get saved. You better do it now if you haven't already. Well, let's finish this message. Are we there yet? Well, the boat's finally floating. I mean, the boat is on the water. Now, can you imagine what it must have felt like for Noah? He built this boat, but it's never been tested. It starts raining. The Bible says that water came out from underneath the ground. It was like a deluge out from underneath. And water was everywhere. Now, this was a man of faith and righteousness, so he must have believed God. But you and me, we're just a little bit different than Noah. Don't you think for just a moment you would think, boy, I hope this thing works. I mean, I built it, but we didn't try it. Got all these animals on here. My entire family's on here. And so it began to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Many people only make it to that part of the story. But let's talk about what happens as the waters grew deeper and deeper, and this boat that was sitting in basically in the desert begins to float. Now, it may seem like duh to you that the boat started floating, but I think that this is a very untested, uncharted course. And all of a sudden, it must have felt pretty odd to be inside that big boat. And it first got the rock. We're floating. We're on the water. Let's read what the story says. Genesis 7:17. For 40 days the flood waters grew deeper, covering the ground and lifting the boat high above the earth. As the waters rose higher and higher above the ground, the boat floated safely on the surface. Finally, the water covered even the highest mountains on the earth, rising more than 22 feet above the highest peak. All the living things on earth died, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurry along the ground. And all the people, everything that breathed and lived on dry land died. God wiped out every living thing on the earth. People, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky, all were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat. And the flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. Now, a lot of times, you know, we sing the song, God told Noah to build him an arky-arky. And then when the next verse is something like, it rained for 40 daisies, daisies, something like that. We think about the 40 days, but 150 days, the earth was covered. It's quite a bit of time. Somebody in that boat had to say, are we there yet? Somebody in that boat said, I wonder what's going on here. Exactly how long is this going to take, Dad? How long is this going to take? Well, we're talking in our times about 5 months. The water had risen more than 22 feet above the highest peak. The highest mountain is Mount Everest among the Himalayas in Nepal and Tibet. 29,035 feet. So the water was 22 feet above that. That's a lot of water, folks. You know, this isn't like a little rainstorm. This isn't a little Oklahoma thunderstorm. The earth is completely covered with water, 22 feet above the highest peak in the earth. Now, there's a lot of people, a lot of scientists, a lot of folks that don't believe this ever happened. Others just don't believe it because it's in the Bible. Heard one guy on the History Channel say, well, just because it's in the Bible means it's not true, because nothing in the Bible is true. Well, you can believe that if you want to, but at the end of the day, you know what? I'm going to believe what's in this book, because everything else the Bible says is going to pass away. But he said, my word will not pass away. So if it's me and I'm thinking about how life works for me, I'm going to go by the book. And he said it flooded. And water was 22 feet above the highest peak on the earth. That's a whole lot of water. And I love the next thing that happens, because the next thing that happens is that God remembered Noah. Love that. I love that because here they are in this boat. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. There's a lot of water on the earth. And it's going to be another 110 days before that boat lands on Mount Ararat. It's a lot of time. A lot of time to think. The mountain that it landed on is the highest, tallest mountain in what we know today as modern Turkey, 16,946 feet. So even when that boat landed on that mountain, there's still a whole lot of water on the planet. You get the picture? I mean, this isn't an overnight experience. See, this isn't 21st century microwave Christianity, where we want it to happen and happen right now. I want God to do something, but I want Him to do it right now or else. If He doesn't do it right now, if He doesn't do it my way in this moment, then just whatever. And I hear people say it all the time. They'll come to me, I need God to do this in my life, and I need Him to do it right now. But I want you to know that there are some things that God does in an instant, but there's a lot of things about our life and the way that we live that He's going to do over time. We've got to follow Him over time. Noah was a man of faith over time. 100 years of building a boat that he had no idea when or how it was ever going to get in the water, except for God had said it's going to rain. He didn't know what rain was either. It had never rained on the earth before. But by faith, he trusted in his God, and God honored him. How many of you know that sometimes when we're going through the storms of our life, when it doesn't look like finances are going to make it, when it looks like our relationship's not going to make it, when it looks like the job is not going to stay solvent and we're not going to have that job, when things start coming out from under us, when we begin to think that life is coming apart, the Bible says God remembered Noah. And if you're a man or woman of faith, He'll remember you too. Let's see what that means. I'm so glad that God remembered Noah, because though the earth was forsaken and destroyed by God through the flood, God never forsakes those who walk in righteousness. The Bible says in Proverbs and both in the Psalms that the righteous will never be forsaken. So you've got this man who, remember earlier in the story, was the only righteous man on the earth. See, I can't imagine God saying that about me. But God said that about this man, Noah. God remembered him. In the midst of his storm, when he felt like, what in the world is going to go on here? See, here's the thing about the Christian faith, walking with Jesus, is that we don't get to know all of the steps ahead of time. We just have to build the boat. And then we just have to get on the boat. And then we just sit there for 7 days till it starts raining. And then all of a sudden, God closes the door. And you go, well, I guess He means business. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there. Starts raining. People probably banging on the side of the ark. Let me in, let me in. God had already shut the door. And finally, the boat begins to rock as the water picks it up. 40 days it rains. 40 nights it rains. Noah's going, well, that's what God says is going to happen. Now, we all think in microwave society that God would just have this big, like, plug, and He could just kind of go plop, and all the water goes down the thing, like your bathtub. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way at all. 150 days in a boat. 8 people and a bunch of stinky animals. And God remembered Noah. Genesis 8, 1-5 says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock with him in the boat. And he sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the floodwaters began to recede." Isn't it interesting? On Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate about a wind that came and blew across the earth, and the power of the Spirit came upon the church. Just 2009 years ago. And it dried up the religious spirit that had caught on to those people who were following after God in some religious way, but hadn't really made an encounter with him. But when the wind began to blow, things began to happen. And here the wind blows, and the floodwaters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and the torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the floodwaters gradually receded from the earth after 150 days. Exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on a mountain, the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm going somewhere on a trip on one of the 47 turnpikes we have in Oklahoma, and you get to the McDonald's or the little station and the car stops, I don't want to wait. I got to go. Can you imagine if this building was the ark right now? Rain for 40 days, 40 nights. All kinds of water. And you can't go home from church early. Two and a half months. Somebody had to say, "Are we there yet?" Now then another 40 days goes by, and Noah opened the window and released a raven. Literally, some translations say he pulled back a cover. And the raven obviously found provision and stayed away and didn't come back, because a raven is a bird that is carnivorous. It eats flesh. So it found all kinds of things to eat. Wasn't time to get out of the boat yet. See, because you don't really want to get out of the boat when there's dead bodies floating everywhere. It's interesting that, this is a little side note, this is free, I won't charge you for this. It's interesting that Lamech, which is Noah's dad, his goal or his desire for his son was to bring rest to a weary world, and he named him Noah, which means rest. And here now, Noah's boat, his ark, rested on the mountain. So, gets this raven out there, it doesn't come back. So a little time goes by, and he released a dove. And the dove couldn't find a place to land, so it came back. So a week later, now just think about it this way. A week later, let's just say I said to you, "Okay, we're having church this morning. We're not going to go out here till we send out a dove next week. Let's just stay here." Most of us in this room go, "Are you out of your mind?" He lets the dove go a week later, and the dove comes back with an olive branch in his mouth. Now, throughout history, a dove with an olive branch in his mouth is a sign of peace. And so he comes back with the olive leaf in his hand, in his mouth, because now stuff has started to grow. The olive trees have begun to blossom. And then another week goes by, and he sends out the dove again, and it didn't come back. Let's read more from the Bible. Chapter 8, verse 6. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat, released a raven. The bird flew back and forth till the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove, see if the water had receded, and it could find dry ground. But the dove found no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. And then Noah knew that the flood waters were almost gone. And he waited another 7 days and then released the dove again. This time it did not come back. So we see this story happening and unfolding here very slowly. And now either you're saying, are we there yet, or is he about done yet? Are you awake? Amen. Anybody out there? This is interactive church. You got to say something every once in a while just to let me know you're still awake. Okay? Somebody estimated, and I don't know if it's true, but somebody estimated that the water receded at a rate of 15 feet per day. And though the ark had rested safely, Noah's waiting. He's waiting to get out of the boat. And you know what he's waiting for? He's not waiting for just the dove to come back. He's waiting for God to tell him it's time to get out of the boat. Because see, here's where we mess up. We may have a big faith moment and believe God one day and really believe Him for something. And then by the next week, we take life into our own hands. Man, I'm sick of being in this boat. I'm getting out of here. But faith says you wait on the Lord. The Bible says they that wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up like wings of eagles, and they'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Those that wait, those who have their hope in the Lord. That's what the word wait means. Sometimes we want to take life into our own hands, don't we? We want to make life work on our own. Noah waited. Twenty-six days later, Noah is 601 years old, and the order came, and he obeyed. Genesis 8:13-14 says, Noah was now 601 years old, and on the first day of the new year, 10.5 months after the flood began, the flood waters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. 2 more months went by, and at last, the earth was dry. That's a long, long time to be in a boat. That's a long time to trust God. 1 year and 10 days, or if you want to count the day they went in, the day they came out, probably a year and 11 or 12 days. The last point is you got to get out of the boat. Now you say, okay, well, you've talked all day about wanting to get out of this boat, so what's the deal with this point? Got to get out of the boat. Let me say this before we read this last section of the scripture and this part of the story. Noah's done everything that God's told him to do so far. And the birds, sending the birds, that wasn't a lack of faith. He was just doing what he knew to do to find out the terrain and what was going on. He was simply using the available opportunities to gather the data he needed to find out what was really going on outside that boat. But obeying the will of God is one of the hardest things we have to do as believers, obeying His will, especially when it goes against what we want. I love Psalms 31:15. It says, "My times are in your hands." See, Noah learned how to live by faith, and he began to recognize and realize that his times were in the Lord's hands. It's not his timing. It's God's timing. And sometimes we just get uncomfortable and want to move. But listen to this little point before we go. Sometimes we get so comfortable where we are that when God tells us to move, then it becomes hard to move because we become comfortable in the way we've always done it. See, I think that the people probably were saying all along, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" until God said, "Get out of the boat." And they said, "Now, whoa, 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 whoa. We've been floating around all these days in this boat, and now you're wanting me to get out on land. I don't even know where we are. I don't know if there's dead things all over the place. I don't know if there's what's going on outside this boat. It's become comfortable in this boat now." How many of you know some of us get real comfortable in church? We don't really listen. I mean, we hear the words, but we don't really respond. Bless you. We don't, I'll do my duty. Throw a little money in the bag. Be nice enough to listen to the sermon for at least as long as my seat can endure. But we get kind of comfortable. Nice cool air conditioning. Nice padded pews. Nice music. Pretty nice pastor. Good work, good looking one at least. But can you imagine being in a boat 150 days and God says, "Get out of the boat," and all you're going to see around you is death right outside these doors in the city that you live in, the place where you work, the places that you hang out for fun are full of people who are dying without God. And so somehow we have to remember that God put us here to be fruitful and multiply. And that's what He tells Noah and his family. You get out of this boat, and in the midst of the death and destruction that you may see from the flood, I want you to go be fruitful and multiply. God gave them a new beginning, didn't He? That's real similar to what He said to Adam and Eve, isn't it? Be fruitful, multiply. Genesis 8:15-22 says, "Then God said to Noah," got to get out of the boat, "all of you, you and your wife, your sons, your their wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, the small animals that scurry along the ground, so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth." So Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives stayed in the boat. No, they didn't. They left the boat. And all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. And then Noah had a party. Right? The Bible says that Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and the birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night. God said, I'll never do it again. The first thing that Noah does when he gets out of this boat is he rebuilds the place of communication with God. In fact, this is the first time in the Bible the word altar is used. He builds the place of communication. And he sacrifices the animals that he brought with him for sacrifice purposes. Now, this was before Moses. This was before the law. This was before the rules about sacrifice. Noah made a sacrifice. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been to sacrifice animals that you have just spent 150 days feeding? Living close to? Smelling their poop? And now all of a sudden you get off the boat and you're going to sacrifice them? See, that's true sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is that much of the church in America today doesn't know what sacrifice means. We've lost it. We've lost sacrifice. We talk about a sacrifice of praise like as though, okay, I really don't want to do this, but I guess I'll sing the songs at the end of the church service. That's not exactly what God had in mind. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. And it's not just singing songs at the end of a service or at the first. It's about everything that starts coming out of our mouth being about everything Jesus is about. That we begin to fill our words, our life, with everything that He's about. We become obedient. No matter what it takes, we follow hard after the Lord. And I love this because God receives Noah's sacrifice. The Bible said it was like a sweet-smelling aroma to the nostrils of our Father. It was so acceptable that God said, I'll never do this again. It doesn't matter how evil we get. God's not going to do a wholesale destruction of the earth ever again. But one day, in a moment, just as long as it takes your eye to twinkle, Jesus is going to come again. It's going to be an incredible experience. And He's going to remove His people from this earth. And the things that are going to follow after are going to be incredible. And we're going to be with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb, eating at the big table. I'll end with this illustration. When I was a little kid, we had a pretty big family. So when we had dinner or something, we either sat around the living room or sometimes in some situations, they'd set up this little table for the kids. And I was an inquisitive little kid. But I had to sit at the table with the little kids, but I wanted to hear what the adults were talking about. So I'd strain to listen to what they were talking about. Because I figured that at the big table, it was going to be the really good conversations. You know, kids, they're mean and cruel. Cruel world of childhood. But at the adults' table, at the big table, they're talking about interesting stuff. when we get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we all get to sit at the big table. No little table. We all sit before God as one. And the Bible says we'll always, ever be with Him. And I challenge you today, I challenge my own heart, to begin to live by faith and build what God says to build and believe when the going gets tough, when the storms hit. Don't worry about the storm. Just get your eyes on the one who is the Lord of the storm. He's the one who can take care of you. He'll take you right through it. He'll make sure that you're in the ark. He'll make sure you're covered. He'll never forget you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how bad the finances get, how many times your job drops out from under you. It doesn't matter how many times you fight with your wife or your husband. It doesn't matter if your kids mess up or go through a difficult time. If you'll believe God and trust Him and stand firm in the faith, no matter what the storms bring, He'll walk through it, every bit of it, with you. And at the end of the day, when this whole thing is over, you don't have to have a fear about what's going to happen, because you'll have been walking with Him, and it'll just like be taking another step into His glory. And the Bible says that there is not any kind of suffering or struggle or pressure or problem that you and I will go through in this life that even can compare to the glory that you'll one day receive if you're one of His children. You want to get a little touch of that glory now? Get filled with the Spirit. Because that's the foretaste of what heaven's going to be all about. Let's pray. Father, I ask You to take this word and minister it to the hearts of those who are here today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would bring Your word alive inside us, that we would not walk from this place with just another story about a man named Noah, but we would remember, Lord, that You have called us to a life of faith, to believe You, to trust You, to walk with You, to depend on You, to not make any moves unless You say to. And that, Lord, when we learn to live by faith like that, it doesn't matter what storms come our way, we can make it through because You are more than able to deliver us. And Lord, sometimes You're going to deliver us from the storm, and sometimes You're going to deliver us right through the storm. But in either case, we're going to get to the safety because You'll never leave us, forsake us. You'll always remember us. We're never alone. There's nothing too hard for You. For with God, all things are possible. And with You, Lord, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, I pray that we would respond to You today by faith. Sometimes, for some of us today, it's time to get out of the boat. Get out of our comfort zone. Get out of the way we've been used to living. And get right with You. We need to make that sacrifice. Build our communication with You, Lord. And trust You. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, please, no one looking around. And for just this next couple of minutes, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, be my Lord. Yet you understand that Jesus 2,000 years ago died on a cross and was buried and rose from the dead for you. And that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. You can be brand new. You can be as safe as Noah and his family was in that boat. Because God's provided a way of escape for you. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, your Lord, or maybe someday way back in your life, somewhere back there, you said yes, but you've walked so far from Him and you know you're not right with God. And if Jesus was to break the eastern sky today, if this was the day the Father sent Him, you know you wouldn't be ready to meet Him. And if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, if you need to make that choice for Jesus today to get your life right with God, I want you right there in the privacy of your seat just to lift your hand right up and put it down again. I'm just going to pray for you. I'll not ask you to come here. I'll not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you right there where you're seated. You want Jesus to come into your life and be your Savior and Lord. Anyone like that this morning? And Father, we believe that you have a work to do in all of us to prepare us for your coming. And so let us live by faith in Jesus' name.